Hello, my name is Junie, and welcome to the Theta Game Podcast. I'm not a financial advisor, and nothing I say is financial advice. I'm just a normal retail trader, just like you. I'm not certified or a graduate of finance, just a trader that started on Wall Street Bets years ago. I've lost a lot of money and made all of it back and more after finding a system that worked for me. You can view all my trades for free at thetagang.com/Junie, no signup required, and email me any questions that I'll answer on the podcast at junie@thetagang.com. Lastly, I stream on Twitch every weekday at least an hour at 9 a.m. Pacific time. Come hang out, ask me questions, vent, or just chill. It's a positive environment, and everyone is welcome at twitch.tv/realthetagang. I've been using the TastyTrade trading platform since I started my ThetaGang journey 5 years ago, and it feels surreal that I've partnered with TastyTrade so I can focus on bringing you guys and girls the content. If you'd like to sign up and use TastyTrade for your trading journey, you can use my link in the show description or use the ThetaGang referral code, that's one word, all caps, when signing up. I use TastyTrade every Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific time, where I chat and trade with viewers live every morning. Go again to twitch.tv/realthetagang if you're interested, join the chatter and morning hangout. Thank you, and I hope you enjoy today's episode. Howdy, y'all, is what I think Major would say. It's August 23rd, 2024, and we just got done with Jackson Hole. Last week was Jackson Hole, because you'll be listening to this on Monday. Last week was Jackson Hole, and the Jackson Hole meeting minutes, you know, the speech basically on paper. When that was released on, I believe, Wednesday, it said that, you know, it might be time, might be due for some rate cuts in September. It might be a good time to finally adjust rates lower. There are two ways of looking at this rate cut right now that I see from the sort of media that I've been ingesting, because, you know, my algorithm for social media could be different from your algorithm. From my point of view, it does seem like, you know, the rate cut could mean that companies can borrow money for cheaper, thus hiring more people, people feeling more confident to spend money, therefore, you know, economy and stock market goes up. Companies being able to borrow money for cheaper incentivizes them to borrow money or refinance their debts and then, you know, expand more and do all that great stuff. But the bearish case is that this rate cut might be coming in too late. So I think I'm pretty sure I'm not the only one laid off. Well, I'm recording the episode, but I'm sure I'm not the only one laid off. And some of you that are listening to this episode have been laid off and are kind of just like chilling or looking for a job, and it can be tough. And while that has sort of trickled down to the rest of, you know, the people in our society and our economy, it might be too late for this rate cut, and the recession could just very well be on its way. People might not be able to afford their mortgage. People would not be able to afford their rent. Maybe have to move in with their parents, or, you know, figure out something. Or maybe they can't make that next car payment. We could be in a very, you know, tipping point of a recession. Depends on your definition of recession, for sure. Or if we're in one already or we're not, that's also a different opinion. But that's the bearish case, is that this rate cut just might be coming in a little bit too late. Right now, at this very second, now, I'm not one that watches the news. I don't watch speeches. I don't watch news anchors or like media outlets. I don't like that type of content. You know, I'd rather just watch like video game essays on YouTube, or, you know, like documentaries or interrogation video. I'm a weirdo. Yeah, I have my things I like to watch on YouTube. But if I had to make a guess of what would happen, like my running thesis right now and the reason why I'm trading the way I'm trading is I really do think that the rate cut will give a temporary boost, but I think overall the market's going to go red. That is what I think will happen. I think up until, say, NVIDIA earnings, between NVIDIA earnings and between elections, like that, from like next week to November, I feel like it's just could be a whipsaw of emotions going up and down, up and down. So I'm just being trying to be very cognizant of like what plays I have open at any given time. I'm making sure that I take profits off the table when, you know, I'm supposed to. Being mindful of when I'm being greedy. But most importantly, I think the thing that has gotten me sort of in a downish mood lately is that I feel like I'm gun shy. I feel like right now, man, I can't tell if I'm disappointed or not, because today on stream I closed out a lot of my winning positions. If I kept them on and then we have another green day on Monday, you're gonna be listening to this on Monday. If you look at the market and it's green, you know, I pupped out. You know, that's what my friend group says. You know, you're being a little pup. You're being a little, you're a scaredy cat. But if it's red, yeah, maybe that's also good timing on my end. But maybe I'm also thinking about, oh, you know, is that negative reinforcing or, yeah, negative reinforcing bad habits? You know, just because I got out and because it was a red day, does that mean I should have gone out anyway? And I guess the summary of that is I'm just very uncertain of where we are. And I can imagine VIX reflecting that at some point. So I feel like there would be a VIX spike sometime down the road if my thesis is true. If I truly believe that, you know, NVIDIA earnings plus, you know, anticipation of the rate cut will make the market go up and down very violently, then maybe VIX will go up. Not to say that I'm going to be buying VIX calls, but it's something to be aware of if you're signing up to, you know, open cash secured puts right now. You open a cash secured put and the market starts going down, that already sucks. But if it goes down a lot very quickly in a very volatile market like, you know, we're expecting to have, it could be a lot worse because you're going to have a lot more intrinsic value baked into your cash secured put. And that will make it harder to get out for green. So these are some of the things that I'm thinking about. Of course, like when I first started, I didn't think about a lot of these things. And it's only when you trade for a pretty long time. I mean, I count 5 years a long time for me. I've been trading the Theta Gang style for about 5 years now. I say that's a long time for any particular style. You know, I'll eventually get to 10. I'll eventually get to 15. But like for 5 years, I feel like you could learn a lot, especially with how far trading has come in the last like 3 years. I'm talking about in a sense of like being able to learn how to trade. Like there's tons of tutorials on how to trade and do all these types of complex strategies now. And there are very smart and really cool people breaking it down easier than ever on YouTube as well. So like back when I started Theta Gang style trades like 5 years ago, it was really tough to just find someone explaining buying an option to close it out. You know, I was like, how the hell do you buy something to close it? Like that made no sense to me. So now it's much easier because there's so many people in the space because of the GameStop and the COVID. Everyone's inside, bored, learning about stocks. So many things to be just aware about. But as you trade, you will learn more and more things. I think as you get to your tipping point of like when you feel uncertain about what you believe in, it's time to start dialing things back and start focusing on things that you want to focus on. So, you know, earlier this year, most accurate term, like a few months ago, I was really into buying calls and buying puts. You know, I would talk about that on the podcast frequently, best loser wins. And you know, I'm seeing a lot of that not in my trading style right now, because I feel like I'm sort of regressing back to how I felt more about in the beginning of the year, where I eventually got sort of left behind in terms of like how much I could have been making. Right now, just to give a little bit of stats, because I know I'm yapping. I did a summary for the Discord earlier. Right now, in my main account that I started with 300K at the beginning of the year, after growing it over 5 years with auto deposits and gains, I'm up 19.8%, nearly 20% year to date. And let me just give you the exact dollar amount, because I know that's the cooler number. Give me one sec. I don't want to, you know, not say it. Give me 1 second. I'm bringing it up. So for the year on the main account, I am up. Let me see. $59,520.98. I've made $923 today. And that's cool. I love it. But however, I did a little bit more research. And by research, I just looked up QQQ and SPY. QQQ and SPY are not that far behind me. QQQ year to date is 19.23%. SPY is 18.9%. So I'm putting in, I think, a whole lot of work to try to beat QQQ and SPY. And I'm beating QQQ by like 0.5%, and I'm beating SPY by like 1%. Is all of this work worth it? So like what's 1% of 300? 300K. Maybe $3,000 is worth it. I don't know. But you know, there is also the risk factor. And speaking of risk factor, you can now see your Sharpe ratio on ThetaGain.com. I've put a lot of work into releasing the stuff that you see on ThetaGain.com now. If you haven't logged into ThetaGain.com in a while, I highly suggest you do. There's a really cool dashboard right when you log in of all the trades that you've opened for this year. And it's just super cool just to see what's called your profit factor and your Sharpe ratio. I'm starting to focus more on trying to get more data on, or to, I'm trying to focus on getting more data to you and also to me, because I also use the website, so that we can better judge like how effective we are at managing risk. Like for example, profit factor, one of the stats that, you know, I've pushed out as a feature for you to see on your dashboard at thetagain.com. Profit factor is a good number to keep track of to see whether or not, you know, you are receiving enough gains to justify your losses. Are your wins big enough to sustain you for the amount that you lose from time to time? Frequently, you know, maybe you've taken a winner off the table and you're like, or a winner too early off the table and you're like, oh man, I should have let that run. You will be able to get a better picture of that from this profit factor number, which sums up all of your wins, all of your losses in a fancy formula, and then tells you, hey, are you taking enough profit for your strategy, for your portfolio to be worth it? And I thought that was really cool. Then there's this other number called the Sharpe ratio that sort of takes your gains and your losses and puts in a fancy formula and calculates the standard deviation of, you know, how big your wins are compared to how big your losers are and how far in between they are from each other. And it calculates a nice number for you to determine like how volatile is your trading. Like do you trade a portfolio that goes up thousands of dollars and down thousands of dollars if you only have thousands of dollars, you know? Are you betting your portfolio? It'd be a pretty big indicator that you might be not that good at risk management if your losses are huge and your wins are huge, because all it takes is maybe one more huge loss than a win for you to blow up your account. So I'm trying to give you guys as much knowledge as I can on the trades that you do post. And something that, you know, I thought is kind of cool about having these features is that like it incentivizes people to upload their trades. Like if you want to figure out, you got to do the work in uploading your trades. If you want to know how risky you are and how on track you are. And I thought it was just super cool feature. I want to get more stats on here. However, right now I think I'm going to be moving back to the tracker. I'm just super stoked on where the dashboard is. I feel like I'm going to leave it alone for a little bit. For those that are wondering, my profit factor is 2.49, which is pretty good. And my Sharpe ratio is 0.31. Sharpe ratio, again, meaning the, you know, how volatile your portfolio is. Typically, you want it to be like 1.0 or higher. That's what the internet says is good. But I found this like really cool fun fact that Warren Buffett's Berkshire Hathaway, okay, their Sharpe ratio is 0.79. Dude, I've looked, whenever I put a new stat or something on the website, I do so much research on that stat, and like I'm starting to debunk a lot of like standards. I don't know who came up with the 1.0 standard, but that it just seems so unachievable. I see that like the normal retail trader falls between like 2.2 or to 0.5. I keep stuttering today. It's like super bad. And then, you know, if you want to be better than average, you strive for above 1.0. But then, yeah, I saw Warren Buffett is at 0.79. Like, you want me to be more risk averse than Warren Buffett? Like, you think I can do that? You think as a retail trader with like the few dollars that I have? No way, Jose. So, you know, I like finding stuff about this on my own, because I got inspired to look this up from the AMA that I did. There were, I believe, two people that asked, you know, do I know what my Sharpe ratio is? And I said, no. And they're like, well, you should know because it's very helpful, blah, 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 blah. And I thought, you know what? Yeah, I'm going to dive in. Let's do this. I want to find that number up. And yeah, mine is 0.31, which is like right in the middle of where an average retail trader would be. And that's perfect because that's what I am. I'm an average retail trader. Warren Buffett, less than one at 0.79, but is about like a little bit more than double than me. But that's also understandable. The man has more money than I can count up to, that's for sure. But yeah, just kind of steady trotting. Is that a word? Trotting? Am I a horse? Yeah, just I'm observing some inflation news, rate cut news, NVIDIA news, unemployment news, still helping some friends find their jobs. I've helped 3.5 people find a job. I'm about to hear back if whether or not this my friend got the job offer. But I've helped 3.5 people so far find a job. So I say, if you're good right now, if you're good, if you are of skill, you can find a job. So if you're maybe recently laid off, or you've been laid off, but you haven't found the motivation to try because, you know what, you just don't think you are ready yet, I'd say yes. I'd say right now you are ready. I don't think you should wait for the job market to become better. Get out there, keep the fire under your butt, and yeah, don't fall behind. I think unless if you want to try something on your own and do something on your own, that's cool too. You know, I'm a pretty strong advocate for that as well. But if you don't have any plans to do anything on your own, hey, man, I think right now sending out applications is a pretty good idea. And you know what? You know when would be the best time to sort of apply for jobs, work on your resume, and do all that boring stuff? 9 a.m. Pacific time, twitch.tv/realthetagang. You can just watch me trade. You can chill out with the chatters in the stream. It's a good vibe. It's a positive environment. There's a lot of people that are just, you know, positive. We say good morning in the morning, and we ask what we're up to, and it's a nice place to, I think, get productive work done. I swear, like, at least half the people that do show up don't chat, but just are there for the vibes, and they might just be working just with the stream on the side. Like, I swear that's what more than half of the people do. So if you want to come by the stream and just like not even chat, but just like keep it on and just have that time be your focus time, I think that'd be really cool. It helps me. And I think, you know, me, pressing the keys on the keyboard, you know, like this, it's pretty good ASMR. I might whisper sometimes too, like this, and then you can like, work on your resume, and then like, say you apply to like 3 places. And after you apply to 3 places, then maybe you could treat yourself to like a coffee, you know, like a matcha latte or something like that. Anyway, yeah, short episode. Looking forward to NVIDIA earnings. And yeah, just busy working on the website. I'm good. Feeling pretty happy. Feeling pretty stoked. And let's go into the outro. From what just started out as just an idea, then learning how to trade options, then building a logging platform, then partnering with Tasty Trade is so surreal to me. If you'd like to trade on TazyTrade, you can see the show description from my referral link or use ThetaGain referral code, one word, all caps, when signing up to help me and support the website, podcast, and stream. This podcast, the website, and stream are all made possible because of my patrons at patreon.com/ThetaGain. Signing up helps keep the services up and alive, as well as pay my own personal bills. I do the podcast, website, and stream full-time as my primary source of income. I feel grateful to be able to do this full-time and focus on providing the best service possible for free. The podcast, website, and stream are all free, and it'll stay that way. Signing up for Patreon gives you a few perks, though, so check it out again at patreon.com/ThetaGain if you're interested in helping support. A huge shout out to my patrons. That's Fancy Wolf, Los Pepes, Mods, Upstream Puddle, Ensis 88, Jimmy Gill, Espresso Bean, ZKMSZ, Joe Quirt, EDC, Travella, Desserts, Kevlar 22, Bachata Thug, Nala, J Perkins 86, Strategy 28, Louis BG, T Wall 3252, LPL, Alexander Kerm, Slow Motion, Rusty Ursty, Catsy, The Jester, Grandpa 95, Gruffalo, Young Rich, Chicken Dinner, Kaput, Coop, Sumatrix, KJ Martin, Statistically Random, Turbo Ricky, Maestro XC, Banadushi, Theta Collector, Tyler LM97, Lord Skeletor, Pig Trader, Major, Tecumi Elmo, Avrillian, R. Schmitty, Y-Teen, Danu 9000, Danger 10, McFly, Husk P, Mr. Integrity, Rooster, Big Dillo, Bloido, Bearded Savage, Dang High, Clutch, Suede Slides, Asha Kabat, AJ Tar, Heel, Bustin Justin, Andy V, SWH, JH, Spammy Spam, Arfman, Mememan, MX7, Vegeta Plank, Kent McMoney, RL, Maltman 1856. Yo, shout out to Meh for exiting his hood position before hood rocketed today. Oh man, I had to get that in there, brother. Oh man, I had to leave it for the outro too, because I ain't saying that during the main episode. I'm just poking fun because Meh is a long-term friend and patron. I just noticed also as I was like pulling up this list that my Patreon has been maxed out, meaning, or the seats have been full. I haven't opened up a seat in a pretty long time, and I was wondering, like, why aren't there any signups? Like, usually it's like one per, at least one per 2 weeks, but I think it's been full for quite some time, so gonna be opening up a seat now, see if that gets filled, and you know, growing the community slowly. Shout out to also Nala, for Nala, I don't know why I said it like that, Nala for some pretty cool trades to come back with. They had a pretty good 4-digit year, gave some of it back and made some of it back now using Zebras, which is kind of cool. What else is there? Anything to report on? Shout out to Major for point figure graphs. Huge difference in how I look at graphs now. I think point figure graphs are amazing. It's funny because I actually look at stock twits from time to time on some of my tickers that I just want to see how people are commenting about it. And I saw a point figure graph there, and I just see people roasting it that it looks like a tic-tac-toe graph. Like, what are they doing? And I'm like, hey, I know how to read it. But yeah, so shout out to Major. Always learning, always trying to one-up himself. Pretty cool to see. Shout out to Banna doing some crazy trades. I saw the ASTS one earlier. I think I want to make this section of the podcast kind of just talking about talking to the patrons. I think this that would be a cool thing I start doing. I don't know. Yeah, but shout out to Banna. Some insane trades. Example of not being gun shy, where I wish I had the execution. I just don't. I'm not in my element right now, and it's because I feel too uncertain. But I think Banna, he's just gotten such a good lead from the beginning of the year. I think that might be part of the reason why he feels comfortable here. And I probably would too if I was heavily executing as him and Major earlier this year. But I wasn't, right? Like, I wasn't making full use of my capital in the beginning of the year. I was playing rather shy. I was beating the market, but I don't have that big of a cushion as, say, like Banna does. So, you know, just kind of rolling through the consequences of playing a little pup in the beginning of the year for me. Shout out to Maltman just for staying in there, still trading. You know, everyone takes breaks from that time to time, but he's back and trading a little bit here and there, finding out what works for him. Some of what works for him includes not having trades open at the end of the day. We have like a resident day trader. But if it works, it works. It's a little dangerous. But if it keeps you interested enough in trading, you know, that's always okay. I say that as I know that he's not playing with an amount that would change his life if he lost it. It's different if, you know, say like a retired dad is like, oh, as long as it's fun, it's okay to do. Okay, I'll just use my entire family's trust fund and IRA to trade then. No, it doesn't work like that. If you're trading with like a fun amount, really anything could be fun from my perspective. I am also, again, not a financial advisor. You're going to lose money if you listen to me. All that disclaimer stuff. I don't think I have any more specific shout-outs. At least not right now. I'm not even looking at the Discord. So I might be just overlooking something. I'm looking at just the list of patrons. And if I can remember anything on top of my head that's popping up. I think I have one or two. So shout out to T-Wall and shout out to Big Dillo. You guys are there early on the stream before the stream even starts. And I don't know if I've ever even mentioned that or thanked you for that before, but that means a lot. Like when I fire up the Pokemon stream avatars thing before the stream starts, like I can tell who's there before I go live. And I always see you two there. So that it just means a lot. Thank you for being there. There's of course the regulars of the stream that always show up there, like Slow and Meh. It means a lot that you guys show up. You don't gotta be early for me to appreciate it. I appreciate all of you. Let's see. Oh, I was gonna cuss. I'm not gonna cuss. I have wasps in my backyard. Backyard is so dramatic. Okay, I have like a patio, like very small. It's like 8 feet long max. And like 4 feet wide max. It's like a tiny rectangle. I live on the third floor. And I have wasps. Like I have a wasp's nest in my backyard or on the patio. And, you know, being in an apartment, in a pretty nice apartment, I get to ask for like maintenance requests and stuff. And I put in a maintenance request for, you know, I have wasps. Please remove. The wasp nest is still really small. There's probably like 10 or 12, 15 wasps max. And usually they come in and they deal with whatever I, you know, sort of report the same day. They have not come today. So, like, reasonably so, I would think that they don't do it themselves. They probably schedule a professional to come by and handle it. But, oh my God, like, I have my bonsai. Shout out to Mr. Integrity. I gift him a bonsai for last Secret Santa. So I water my bonsai like every 2 days, probably every day or every 2 days. And I step outside, and then I'm letting one of my shrimp tanks actually dry because I cleaned one out. And it was in the sun. And I look down. I'm like, what is? How did a pine cone get in my fish or my shrimp tank? How does that happen? You know, and I'm thinking like, we don't got pine trees here. And then there's something crawling on the pine cone. And it's like, I see, wow, that's a big bee. And I'm like, wait, no, that's a wasp. It's a wasp. And then I'm like, no, it's not a pine cone. It's a nest. And I'm like, I go back inside. And then there's like these like blind curtains that I could like look through. And then I look, I just keep looking at the nest. And there's like, of course, like three wasps, like just like surrounding it, walking around it. And of course, disturbed because I had like opened the door, which is really close to the shrimp tank because I was letting it dry from the previous night. And then I'm peeking through the window and I see the wasp nest and the wasp. And I look up. I look up and where there's like this light for the backyard. Oh my goodness. There were like, there were probably like 8 or 9 of them just like spinning in a circle. It was so gross. It was so scary. Like, dude, if I just didn't, if I did not notice that pine cone or didn't notice my the thing in my shrimp tank, dude, I would be toast. I would have gotten stung in all types of places. It would have been such a bad day. But thankfully, I saw it, and pretty sure it's some of the karma for helping my friends through their economic professional turmoil and getting them a job. Maybe that's the karma also coming back to me, right? Like, I didn't get stung by like a dozen wasps. Just kind of my blessings, you know, silver lining everywhere. And that's what it is, at least most of the time. There's silver lining everywhere. You just gotta look for it. Sometimes we forget to look for it, and sometimes we just need a gentle nudge or reminder to look for it. I think I'm blessed also with just the ability to be able to do this podcast because, dude, I'm gonna be honest. I don't think I would have this level of reflection or this level of skill of like being able to talk through my emotions or being able to express my emotions through words if I never started this podcast, right? Like, I feel like this, whenever I record, especially in this 1% section, I feel like it's very therapeutic for me. So that's why I keep doing it. Like, regardless of how bad the main part of the episode is, sometimes the 1% section makes up for it. I mean, I always feel great after I record an episode. It feels like I talk about things that I wanted to get off my chest, but I might not have someone that genuinely cares about a specific topic, or I might not want to burden someone with a specific topic. But this place, you know, it just feels like I'm really just like letting it out. Right now, yeah, I don't have much like negative things to say. I don't think I usually do have negative things to say, but I just have only positivity to spread. I love that a lot of people actually finish the episodes just to get to this section. It feels very honorable, or I feel honored that people care about enough what I have to say to like listen through an episode to get to this part. And yeah, it just means a whole lot. I want to say thank you to everyone that's helped me enable my journey so far in taking ThetaGain.com full time. It's always been a dream of mine to do something on my own, and I'm excited to have you guys with me on my journey. Whether or not I make it, it's cool with me, as long as I can just know on my deathbed that I gave it a try. I'll see you guys next week.